Now let's continue on this last half. I want to finish up the 14 things to happen in prophecy before the end. Now, last week, when I was in Arcadia, instead of covering the Philadelphia church and Laodicean church, which we'll review just a little bit, I covered all seven churches. So let's go back and review. First of all, number one, there's going to come a time of peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. So on the tipping scale, we can say that zero. When that happens, it's only going to be 3.5 years of peace and safety. Number two, King of the North and King of the South. On tipping scale, King of the South, maybe one. King of the North, 2 to 3. A lot that has to happen in Europe for it to develop. There are some reports that the German Pope is getting together with the German nation, and now they're going to try and you know, get their alliance again, like Rome has always had with Germany and Austria and Hungary and so forth, to try and rescue the Catholic faith, which is virtually non-existent anymore in Europe, and they're overrun with Muslims, so that's another big problem they're going to have to solve. Number three, world trade. World trade on a tipping scale, we're about 5 or 6. And I just got a report, another report, warning about what's going to happen with the dollar. And right now, the big boys are trying to push down gold as far as they can because they're worried about all of these bonds they're selling in Europe and America. So they need to drive down gold to a certain point so people will get out of gold and get into bonds. When that happens, gold is going to go right back up again. But world trade, in that report, he also said that there would be a world currency. And he also mentioned the same thing that I did, that probably it will be the international trade will be done in the world currency first, and all nations keep their regular currency for the time being. Could be. I don't know exactly how that would work, but what they're finding out is the dollar, even though they say it's weak, even which it is, even though it is vulnerable, which it is, it's a whole lot stronger than they ever figured. And the reason is because the dollar is an international currency for all trade. And the Federal Reserve has no limit on how many dollars they can print. So that's why in my latest letter I said they're going for super hyperinflation. So be ready. It's going to come. Everything is going to go up. Yeah, it has. Number four, mark of the beast. And as I explained in the letter that I wrote, the mark of the beast will not be enforced until just before the tribulation. Now let's review that again. Let's come back here to Revelation 13 and 14, because this becomes important to understand. Because once that is enacted, there is no way that anyone's going to buy or sell. You will be a non-person. It's like this. You may exist standing in front of me, but if you're not registered on the computer, you don't exist. Okay. Now, here's the reason. Let's read it. First of all, Revelation 13 and verse 16. Now, Book of Revelation is hard to understand if you read the commentaries of past history. It can bring certain things out which are true, but it doesn't look upon it as a whole worldwide global scale thing, and that's the key to understanding Revelation. Okay? And we'll see that mentioned again with the Church of Philadelphia as we review that just a little bit. Verse 16, and he causes all, the small, the great, the rich, the poor, the free, and the bond to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads. Now who does all include. Okay? Go back to verse 7. And he was given power to make war against the saints and to overcome them, and he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him. So when it says all, we have it defined here, all who dwell on the earth. Worldwide. And never has there been a time like we have today with the capacity to do that. Verse 17 now. So that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name. And the Greek for or carries it as the equivalent and. So there are three parts to the mark of the beast, not three marks of the beast, but three parts to it. Okay? Now, let me ask you a question. Does God always give a warning before something takes place? Okay? Yes. All right, come over here to chapter 14. Chapter 14. And let's read verse 9. Now, I'm not going to review the first two of the three angels' message. Okay? Each one has a message. No, let's review it. Go back to verse 6. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth. Oh, God's going to intervene, and let it be known. There is no way that people are not going to be able to say, Lord, you didn't tell me. Now, why is he going to send out angels to do that? Well, because there are probably not very many men able to get up and really preach out the way they ought to because of the restrictions of the beast upon human activity. So, an angel's going to do that. Now, that also ties in to Matthew 24 and verse 14, that the gospel will be preached as a witness in all the world. Okay, so then this is, now notice what it says. Having the everlasting gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. See, a worldwide thing. Now here's what it says. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who dwells in the heaven, who made the heaven, rather, and the earth, and the sea, and the fountains of water. All right? Will people respond to that somewhere down in the tribulation? The answer is yes. Because we have the 144,000 and the great innumerable multitude. Now, we read great innumerable multitude. Let's read that here. Okay? Verse 9, Revelation 7. So let's just go back a few pages here and look at this. Talking about the same thing. See, everything in Revelation is on a worldwide scale. Verse 9. After these things, that is the 144,000 from the children of Israel, I looked, and behold, a great innumerable multitude, which no one was able to number, out of every nation and tribe and people and language, was standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Okay? That's probably a result of chapter 14 and verse 6. Now, you see, a lot of these things are not in sequence. It's like other things in the Old Testament. You have to put them together. You have to ask the question, when is that going to be given? This is probably going to be given just before the mark of the beast is enforced. We'll see as we go along. Okay, verse 8. Then another angel followed, saying, the great city Babylon has fallen. Now, the great city Babylon expands into the whole world because the whole world is a Babylonian system. And all the cities of the world look the same. They're all Babylonian because of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, which she has given all nations to drink. So then that ties in with Revelation 17 and the whore that's riding the beast, right? Yes. Now notice the third angel, what he says. This would have to be immediately before the mark of the beast is enforced. Let's read it. Verse 9, Revelation 14. And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives the mark in his forehead or in his hand, he shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed undiluted in the cup of his wrath, and he shall be tormented in fire and brimstone in the sight of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment, because they'll be burned up, their smoke ascends into the ages of eternity. And it's true. Once you get something up in space, it's there forever. It's like some of these satellites we send out. They're still going off in space. You know, they're out doing the Energizer Bunny. All right. Now, yes. And all who receive the mark of his name have no rest day and night. So there's going to be a tremendous penalty that comes from receiving the mark of the beast. This has to be given before the mark of the beast is enforced. God's not going to do it afterwards. Too late, right? Okay. When is the mark of the beast enforced? Let's come back here to chapter 13 and verse 5, speaking of the beast. And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue for 42 months. So that's 3.5 years by months. 1,260 days of the two witnesses is 3.5 years in days. And it ends at a different point and begins at a different point than this 42 months. And if you want to know about that, then go online and download our Daniel Revelation series and the charts. And if not, write in and ask for it and we'll send it to you. Okay? So the third angel's message and the second angel's message and the first angel's message have to be given before the 42 months begins. Otherwise, it would be a warning in vain. Okay. Number 5, Rise of the Kings of the North and the East. I'm going to give a sermon on that here pretty quickly. And it's very interesting that the Chinese have had a lot of dealings with Afghanistan over the years, and that's the reason that we are there for all of the minerals, the rare earth. How many noticed on the news even last night it said China is cutting back by 1/3 all rare earth minerals? Did you see that on the news? Nope, they're cutting back the export by 1/3. So if you've got a Prius Toyota, look out for you to repair it and for you to keep the battery going, for you to keep the generator motors going and everything. It's going to cost you an arm and a leg and whatever you have saved by driving a hybrid car is going to be lost in the maintenance. You're going to pay for it. You're going to go in the hole big time. Big time. But China's doing that to control. And I believe that that is being done to give them leverage to have the permission of the other nations to come in to Afghanistan and to do the mining. They already have the biggest mine already locked up, the big copper mine. They already have that. Now, they can't start, how should we say, extracting all the minerals out of there by making a big pit, because there's a huge Buddhist temple which must be preserved first. But as I said, they're going to run railroads, oil lines, gas lines, and they have already concluded with Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Pakistan, and India, a huge natural gas pipeline that comes down through Afghanistan, down to Pakistan, and down to India. So, kings of the North and the East, on a scale, tipping scale, where are we? I'd say about 4 or 5. And we can be guaranteed that 2012, the end is not going to be here. A lot of people are hung up on the Mayan calendar, and as one man Gilibaldo Elizondo said, well, the Mayans quit counting in 2012. And he said, well, Jesus hasn't. See? No man knows the day or the hour. Now, we know the times and the seasons based upon what the framework of the holy days tell us. But even then, that gives us an outline. It doesn't tell us the exact day. And the reason no one knows the exact day is because the sun and the moon and the earth and all the things that happen to it is going to shake it, its orbit cattywampus. And you're not going to know when the sun is rising, when the sun is setting. Remember, it says a third of the sun will not shine, a third of the moon will not shine. How do you know when the day begins and ends? You don't. So God has to determine it. No man can. Okay, so kings of the North and the East, let's give it a 4 or 5 on a tipping scale. Number 6, the fall of Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, also including the Jews. The Jews will be handled separately because of Jerusalem. On a tipping scale, we give that a 6 or 7 because the United Kingdom's going down before us. You know how much gas is in the United Kingdom right now? Nearly equivalent of $8 a gallon, U.S. Now, it's going to happen to us. We're not coming out of this recession because there are just too many things going on the downside. And when we come down, and when the dollar finally is demised, then we will be oppressed. Now, it doesn't tell us how long we're going to be oppressed. Let's come back here to Deuteronomy 28. Let's see that. And in a lot of these things, when it states something without a time frame, we don't know how long it'll be. Now, if you go back and read in the book of Judges, you find that the Midianites oppressed the children of Israel for 18 years. But we don't know if we could transfer that over into helping understand how long we're going to be down. But when the dollar goes down and they finally switch to a world currency, things are going to be absolutely different. Now, I want you to think upon this. The stranger in your midst will rise high above you. Did you know that de facto in Arizona, the United States government has already ceded part of that state to Mexico? De facto. That means it's not official. Going into this national park, it says, warning, do not go beyond here because of drug trafficking and drug gangs. What does that tell you? They've just given free rein to the drug gangs down there to control the territory. So they do. They have bands of scouts that look for all of the Border Patrol people, any sheriffs that come in there, so forth. See? Some will say, well, we really haven't done it. Well, what have you done? Why? Because the population of America is becoming so absolutely sinful in God's eyes that his judgment has to come. And it's not a matter of getting good people to do better, like Glenn Beck says. And by the way, Glenn Beck, I said, was a watchman on the wall for financial things, but I said, beware of his religious things. And sure enough, he's coming out now as a universalist New Ager in his latest book. And I suspect, just like everything that the establishment does, when there is someone who gets too powerful and too popular, they send someone to control him. And I think that man is Ablo, the psychologist that helped write his new book. Now they've got Glenn Beck controlled. So here what we have is a classic thing. You expose one conspiracy to bring in another. Now notice, verse 43. And the stranger dwelling among you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. What does very high mean? What does very low mean? And there are degrees in between, correct? Yes. Have you ever walked into a department store and you haven't heard English? Have you ever tried calling a federal government agency and have such an accent that you tell them that you can't understand them? Please get me someone who can speak English. Okay. Verse 44, he shall loan to you and you shall not loan to him. That's where we are right now. He shall be the head and you shall be the tail. This is a process that happens, and so we don't know how far along it really is because we don't know the severity of what it means. You shall be brought very low and he shall be brought very high. We do understand about the lending because we've seen it, right? Yes. Okay. So, number 6, the fall of Israel on a scale of 10. Let's put that at 6 and 7. All right. The rise of the false prophet. We'll put that at about 4 because that whole Babylonian system has to rise, including all religions, and what is going to be the tipping point to make it all happen and even bring the Muslims in for that short period of time. Come back to Revelation 13. Let's show you what it will be. Revelation 13. You get a message from Satan saying, everybody come together. Let's look at the second beast of Revelation 13. And I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast before him, that is, over the whole earth. He causes the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and he performs great wonders, so that he even causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. That will do it. The signs and the wonders and the miracles. Of course, then, on the other hand, you're going to have the two witnesses in Jerusalem, right? Okay. So the false prophet, let's put it on a tipping scale, let's put it 4 to 5, because there's an awful lot that has to happen before it takes place. Maybe 3.5 to 4 might even be better. Because when he comes on the scene, it's going to be all of a sudden. So it's going to be like, you know, like I said, with a tipping scale on a teeter-totter. It's going to be like if you're teeter-tottering with someone, going back and forth like this, and then all of a sudden when he's down and you're up high, he slips off the end. Bang, and you come crashing to the ground. That's how the tipping scale is going to be with that one there. Okay. The temple showed how there has to be a temple to be built. The two witnesses and Elijah, we covered that. Number 10, Laodiceans. Number 11, Philadelphians. Okay. Now let's come to the last three that we haven't covered. So, When you get to 7 churches, church wars, that covers all the churches, and I end up with Laodicea and Philadelphia. Now remember, the churches, the 7 churches of Revelation 2 and 3 are a prophetic projection of the churches of God through history as God views them. That's what's important to understand. So it began with the seven literal churches there when John wrote his letters. And actually, they were letters from Christ, because Christ said, write and send to the church, each of the seven churches. Then we can see down through time, it gives an outline of the churches of God and their history. Then at the end, I think that as God looks at his churches, all seven are there again in attitude and so forth. And so this is why we're having the scattering of the church right now. All right, let's come back to Matthew 24, and let's look at what is building right now. And let's see if we can put this on a scale that will make sense. Matthew 24. Next thing to happen is the hating of Christians. Now, we see that more and more, don't we? Yes. Matthew 24. And let's pick it up here in verse 8. And also, let's view Matthew 24, as I mentioned, from this point of view, that all of these things at the end time have to be, plus the fulfilling of the other prophecies. Because if he mentions Daniel, which he does, then you have to consider all the prophecies in Daniel that have to do with the end time, correct? And if he mentions Daniel, then you've got to consider all the prophecies in Revelation, because they tie together. Daniel is the first half and Revelation is the second half. So you have to put them together. So when he says, when you see all these things, know that it is near. So there's a lot that has to be. All right. We don't know how long the time of sorrows is going to be. But it has to be before the tribulation, leading up to it. Verse 9, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. Now this happened back then. It's happened down through time. So this is cyclical as well as end time. And kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now that's interesting, isn't it? All nations, see? Now, this also ties it in to make it a worldwide event. Because never in the history of the world has it been possible to have true believers in all nations who are living at a time when they can all be subject to being killed, even though the event is cyclical and has happened in the past. Okay, so on a scale of, let's see, let's come here to John 15. Let's see what Jesus told the apostles concerning being hated. You're going to be hated. And we have it in a small manner, don't we? When some of your relatives find out that you keep Sabbath instead of Sunday, then you find out their true emotions, don't you? Yes. When they find out you don't keep Christmas, whoopee! Then it really comes on glued. Oh, you don't love me! You know. Okay, John 15. Here's what Jesus said. Okay, verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So in other words, don't worry about it. And that's what separates you from the world. Because he said, verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. However, because you're not of the world, but I have personally chosen you out of the world hates you for this. Who are you to say all these other people are wrong? Well, I'll give you an instructive lesson to find out. Read the whole book of Jeremiah. He was the only one. Did they have a lot of false prophets? Yes. Did they have false teachers? Yes. Had they corrupted everything that there was? Yes. Did Jeremiah warn them? Yes, for over 30 years. Did they believe him? No. So we'll experience the same thing. Remember the word that I spoke to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they kept my word, they will keep your word also. But they will do these things to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Isn't that interesting? See, we'll talk about that. This year I'm going to cover a lot concerning the Passover and the New Covenant and so forth. So we'll cover that when we get to it. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have had sin. But now they have nothing to cover their sin. The one who hates me hates my Father also. And if I had not done among them the works that no other man has done, they would not have sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. So that's going to happen on a worldwide scale, especially when the one world religion comes in and we say, no, no. Now, verse 25. But this has happened so that the saying might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Then he says, down here to in chapter 16, verse 1, he said, I've spoken these things to you so that you will not be offended, that is, when the time comes. They shall cast you out of the synagogues. Well, today it's whatever religious assembly it would be. Furthermore, the time is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is rendering service to God. Now the question is, why would they do this to good people? Again, verse 3, they shall do these things to you because they do not know the Father nor me. Okay, so hating Christians? Well, look what's happening to even those who call upon the name of Christ. See? Like I started out my sermon, my two sermons last week, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from unrighteousness. There are a lot of people who name the name of Christ? Yes, indeed. Are they despised? Yes, indeed. Go to a Muslim country. Try and talk about even a Protestant Jesus to a Muslim. You may be arrested or killed or beheaded. Look what the Muslims are doing to the Orthodox Christians, if I could put it that way, or worldly Christians in Nigeria, in Darfur, in Somalia, in the old area of Yugoslavia, Serbia, and Kosovo, and so forth. Okay? So that's number 12. They're going to hate you and kill you. Number 13, preaching gospel to the whole world. All right, we covered one of those. Angel is going to do it. Two witnesses are going to do it. The churches of God are going to do it. So how long will that be? What will be the degree of it? But you see, right now today, if we look back, I remember a time when they were producing 8 million plain truths a month. Remember that? And what happened? They said, we have witnessed to the world. Okay. Now here we are, 43 years later, and the world's still going on. And what has happened since that time, the ability to preach the gospel, the cost of it has gone down dramatically. To be able to print things and distribute them has gone down dramatically. Now we can do it digitally. So, how thorough does it have to be? I don't know. What constitutes a witness? Having a Bible in your house, that's one form of witness. If you don't read it, it's your fault. Not God's fault. You got it there. Okay? So we'll have to wait and see how that would be. But if we put it on a scale here, if we consider the publishing of the Bible as we covered, we consider preaching of the word. And I need to mention here something that's important to cover. evangelicals are having great success in foreign lands. A lot of people think, oh, well, they're preaching the gospel. No, they are not. They're preaching another Jesus, but what are they doing? They're preparing the way for when the false prophet comes with the one world religion, we're all together. See? Because they are not preaching the gospel. Just because they call themselves Christian does not mean they're preaching the gospel. Okay? So on a scale of what does it mean to preach the gospel to the world for a witness, as Jesus said, well, let's give it a 3 or 4. We don't know. But one thing about the internet, one thing about doing it that way, whatever you have on the internet is there 24/7. And then you look at all of those who have many of the correct doctrines, and there is a lot going on in preaching the gospel. You look at the result of the scattering of the churches of God, and what do you have? It went from 150 organizations to 1,500 organizations. Now, how they relate to God and how faithful they stay to God is up to them. So we'll see what happens with that. All right, number 14. Number 14. Let's look at this. Number 14 is no truth, no faith. Now, that doesn't mean a total absence of truth. It means that it will be so minuscule that it will be hard to find. Let's come here to Luke 18. Now, this may sound like it's contradictory of the one before, but then how do you explain it? How do you explain it, Luke 18 and verse 18, okay? Because Jesus said this, verse 8, Luke 18, I tell you that he will speedily execute vengeance for them. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find the true faith on the earth? Going to be rare. Going to be few. This would have to be a time when they don't allow the truth to be preached any longer. This will be a time, Luke 18 and verse 8, when it will be difficult to find the true doctrines and teachings. This will be a time when it will be hard to find those who believe in the true Christ with the true gospel. So you see, that also lays a lot of responsibility on all of us who do teach and preach. But Jesus spoke this. So on a scale of 10, where are we on this? Well, let's give this about a 7 or 8. Huh? Hard to find the truth unless you go on the internet. Then when you get there, you've got to filter it down to, you know, who has the greater degree of truth. Then you have to filter it down to who believes it and lives it. So all of those things create quite a set of circumstances as to how we know when the end is coming. So those are the 14 things in prophecy that have to be done or be completed before the end comes. So as you can see with that, it's very evident there's quite a few more years down the road. So don't say that the Lord is delaying his coming and say, oh, well, you know, God isn't doing what he said. That's not the case. He's doing exactly what he said. Remember this, God is never late. God is never early. He's always on time. So you take these things and use them as a guide to help you to understand what you need to do with your life and realize there's a lot more time than we had figured. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.